Honestly, it is my favorite time of the year. I mean, I look at these Advent candles, and I just have one thing to say to you. Merry Christmas, New Life! All right. This is the fourth week of our Advent sermon series, The Truth About Christmas. Over the last couple of millennia, too many biblical truths pertaining to the birth of Christ have been obscured by what the world has set for its priorities. We've set out to regain these truths. First, we took a look at Jesus Christ born on Christmas is much more than easily ignored advice, but he is rather the good news. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. We have regained the truth that Emmanuel, God with us, he's with us today and every day. But to experience him daily, we must keep the Lord in front of us. Practice his presence daily. Last week, the children showed us the dawning of the sun with their Christmas program. That was just crazy cute. And as a pastor, that's a tough act to follow, let me tell you. Really, it's kind of unfair, because the more they mess up, the cuter they get. That doesn't work for me. But they showed us that Jesus, here's the truth, that Jesus is the light of the world, and that we are no longer walking in darkness. Beautiful, beautiful truth. Thus far, in this series, we've taken a look what Christmas is. Bit by bit, we've put that together. This is what Christmas is. Or maybe better said, what God gives us in Christmas. Today I want us to consider how we respond to what he gives us. Himself. There's a tremendous amount of truth for us found in Mary's response of faith to what God gave her. Please stand out of reverence for the reading of the word.
Luke 1:26b-38. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled."
Amen. This is the reading of the word. You may be seated. God bless that. I have a dear, dear friend in Christ that has, albeit very, very genuine and true to him, he has an automatic response to the most common icebreaker of any conversation. "How are you doing?" If you ask him, "How are you doing?" it's the same thing every time. And he is just so happy to tell you that, "I am blessed and highly favored to God." And he'll tell that to anybody. "I am blessed and highly favored to God." Animated and happy because it is true to him. You know, circumstances, anything could be going on in his world. I've seen this man going through cancer treatments. Body doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And in genuine concern, I would ask him, how are you doing? And every time, I am blessed and highly favored to God. And he knows it. The response to that brings a wide variety of reactions. Some get it. And sadly, many don't. Some understand what it means to be blessed and highly favored to God, while many, both Christians and non-Christians alike, don't have any idea just how blessed, how loved, and how favored they really are by God. In our scripture today, we heard three wonderful truths told to Mary by the angel Gabriel. Each of these are certainly true of Mary. She was highly favored. The Lord was with her, and she was indeed blessed. However, I want you to know something today. This is key. I want you to put a handle on this, and I want you to take it home with you. I want you to carry it with you. All of these things are true of the believer of Jesus Christ. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, these things are true of you. Take a look at these wonderful, wonderful truths. We are highly favored by God. Take a look at Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of his glorious grace, which is undeserved favor, right? To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us. I mean, it gets better. In verses 7 and 8, it goes on to tell us the riches of his grace, undeserved favor, are lavished upon us. I believe that's highly favored, don't you? You are highly favored to God. The Lord is with us. Which is interesting. I mean, Jesus is about to ascend. The risen Lord is about to ascend, leaving his disciples. Any disciples of Christ here, any followers of Jesus, raise your hand. Okay, he's talking to you, all right? So here we go. What's the last thing that Jesus tells them before he ascends? Surely I'm with you always, until the very end of the age. The Lord is with you, just as he was with Mary. We are blessed by God. Take a look at Ephesians 3. Praise be to the Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You notice what it does? It says a few select things you can have. No, it says every spiritual blessing in Christ. Guess what? You can tell anybody that asks you, how you doing? I am blessed and highly favored to God. Amen. Things happen. Things happen within you. When you know and proclaim that, it's amazing. The Christian will love, will serve, and will worship the Lord only to the extent that they know that they're blessed by God. So if you don't know these truths that are yours to every believer, we will not be in awe of God at all. You know, as Christians, we ought to take a look at the gospel and just be amazed at this truth. My truth, our truth. We should be in awe and wonder of this beautiful, beautiful gift given to us. Unto us a child is born. So if we don't know these truths, that they would be ours, we won't experience God as Mary did. We won't respond to God in wonder as Mary did. If I would ask a person on the street, what is Christianity? I would imagine that I would get a number of different responses. Some may think that Christianity is mainly consists of going to church, giving a tithe, believing in a certain creed, or living a good life. For that person, there will be no awe or wonder about what God says is true of them. Someone asked, "Are you a Christian?" may respond, "Yes, of course I am. It's hard work, you know, but I'm doing the best I can." This person believes in a Christianity that is based on what they do and not what Christ has done for them. So there is no amazement of grace or anything else to do with their day-to-day Christianity. But when a Christian knows what's been done for them by God and understand that what it really means to be blessed and highly favored to God, you know, that's when everything changes. There is an ongoing amazement. There is an ongoing sense of wonder that produces an ongoing worship that cannot be contained. An amazement of this grace that is lavished upon us. A grace that is transformational, amazing, to be blessed and highly favored of God. There's no other place in Scripture that helps us better understand what it means to be blessed and highly favored of God than Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel. But we also can look a little bit further into Mary's song. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing. There are tons of truths in here. Honestly, there's a sermon series in here. But look for these truths as we go through them. In Luke 1, 46 through 50. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of my humble state, the humble state of his servant." You can't ignore the awe and the wonder, the tone of her worship, the depth of her praise. Her very soul has been changed forever by the fact that she is highly favored of God and that the Lord is with her and that she is indeed, indeed blessed. Knowing that you're blessed and highly favored of God, who is with you. There's a key point there. Who is with you and for you. It does. It changes you from the inside out. These truths change your view of God from an indifference to an indescribable joy that you just can't keep it in. How do we know that we're blessed and highly favored? Well, he is mindful. He is mindful of our humble state. He knows that his people, what his people need before we even ask. He's simply waiting for you to agree with him. Agree that he is the source of all good gifts. Agree that, yes, God, I need you. Agree with God and that he is almighty and God and you're not. How do we know that this applies to us? Listen to this. "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Listen to this. "His mercy extends to those who fear him." I want you to understand what fear is before we go any further. That is amazement. That is awe. That is wonder, resulting in reverence to God and obedience to him. So did it stop 2,000 years ago? No, it says generation to generation. That means God's mercy and God's grace is extended to all of his humble servants, to all of his children, freely given to you and to me. Graced, lavished, lavished. Not just a little dropper, lavished upon you, to transform you. You can't be the same after that. You just can't. Knowing these Christmas truths ought to really bring our hearts to praise as it did Mary's. Rejoicing as Mary did. I mean, you might be asking, well, all right, fine, how do I get to that point? I need to get to that point. That's what I want. Yeah. Take me there. Let's go. Sure, she asked questions. How can this be? But once she knew she was indeed blessed and highly favored God, Mary simply believed what God said was true. Mary believed. Elizabeth, I can just see her shouting this. Loudly proclaimed this to Mary in Luke 1 and 45. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. We can do that too, you know. We can believe his promises. They're all right here. You can put your name on every one of them. These promises are to you. We can do that too. We can be blessed, as Mary was, if we believe these promises are going to be fulfilled, as it was for her. Her response to knowing what God says is true was this, found in verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. There's a lot there. There's an intense surrender right there. Holy, with a W. Surrender. Tim Keller notes that Mary is not saying, I think I could add value to my life, or this is just what I need to reach my goals in life. Submitting to Christ is not like joining a gym to live well. Christ is not a program to help you reach your potential. Christ is not a vendor of spiritual blessings to come to when you're in need. No, there was absolutely nothing calculated about her surrender. No. Mary is convinced that what God has said about her is true. What he has done for her was indeed done for her, but also the benefit of all people, for others. This is all true of us too. And what he was going to do, or what he is going to do, will indeed happen. And that's proved by what he has done for all people of all time, the mighty things that he has done. She is caught up. She is caught up completely, mind, body, and soul. Therefore, she gladly surrenders because she knows the truth about Christmas. And she knows that she is indeed blessed and highly favored to God. Mary takes a hands-off approach to her life. She commits it unto the Lord, palms down, leaves her possession. It's all yours, God. It's a beautiful thing. You see, Mary didn't knuckle under the pressure that God was putting on her. No, that's not how it worked. She submitted to the truth of God's love for her. There's a magnificent truth there. Her response to his love was love. Keller also notes, Our greatest motive for surrendering to him cannot be for what he will do in us. It must be to love him for what he did for us. You need to understand that. I'm going to put that out there one more time. I want you to put a handle on this too, and I want you to take this with you as well. Our greatest motive for surrendering to him cannot be for what he will do in us. It must be to love him for what he has done in us. For what he has done for you, to you, and through you, and most assuredly will do. Can you see why, as we look at Mary's song, why her soul rejoices? Why her spirit is just so full? It can't be contained. I have an old fable for you, an old story. I love to tell stories, I do. There's a story of a king who went to the village streets to greet his subjects. A beggar sitting by the roadside eagerly held up his alms bowl, sure that the king would give handsomely. Instead, the king asked for something. I mean, the beggar was taken aback, and he fishes out 3 grains of rice and drops it in the king's hand. At the end of the day, he takes a look and sees what all was put in the bowl. And in the bottom were 3 grains of pure gold. Oh, that I would have given it all to him. There's going to come a time. There's going to come a time we're going to look in our bowl. At the end of the day, I don't want to say, oh, I should have given him all. I should have surrendered all. I don't want to be that. If we do not see how blessed and favored God we really are, we're not going to give him all. Maybe 3 grains of rice, call it good. Lord, you can have control of some of my days, Monday through Friday afternoon. God, I surrender some of my will, some of my means, some of my time, some of my mind, some of my body, some of my soul, some of the time. Someday we will look at what's left in our bowl and cry out. If we do not fully surrender unto the Lord, willingly, out of love, returning love, we'll look in the bowl. Man, I should have given it all. See, I have 2 questions. This is a really good measure of where we're at when it comes to surrender. Are you willing to obey what the Bible says? Do what God says to do. We might nod our heads right now, right? Whether you like it or not. I mean, honestly, there's some things in here that I don't like. There's some promises in here that I don't necessarily care for. You're going to have trouble in this world. Don't like that one. There is a hell. Some people I love are there. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. But are you willing to obey the Bible? Do what God says to do, whether you like it or not. 2nd question, are you willing to trust God in the trials of life, whether you understand them or not? You see, if you can't answer yes to both of these questions, you do not know that you are blessed and highly favored of God. Today, I want us to simply believe what God says about you is true. believe his promises to you will indeed happen. Surrender to him in love for what he has already done for you, what he has already done to you, and what he is going to do through you. Trusting he will complete the good work that he has begun in you. That's a promise. That's a promise to you. If you believe this with all of your soul, I want you to repeat this after me. I am blessed and highly favored to God. So how are you doing? No, all right. No, really. How are you doing? Wow, that's awesome. Me too. Me too. Blessed and highly favored to God. Now, I want you to talk to Jesus about this. We're already talking, right? I want you to talk to Jesus about this. Let him know how you're doing. If you're ready to surrender wholly with a W unto the Lord, as Mary did, repeat this after me. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Prayer meeting a couple weeks ago, we prayed this prayer. Powerful. I'm asked often, Dave, you know, is fully surrender, is that a crisis moment? Is that something that happens once in your life and you're done? Or is it an ongoing thing? The answer is yes. It's both. It is. Church, let's just seal this deal with Wesley's covenant prayer. Let's give God our eternal, forever yes to him today. Please pray this with me and just simply agree in your hearts as we go along. I am no longer my own, but yours. Take that time now and speak it in your heart into God's ears. Surrender yourself unto him. Says, I'm no longer mine. I am yours. Take your life and commit it to him, palms down. Put me to doing. Tell the Lord that. Put me to doing. Be open in your heart to what that even looks like in your life. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. What sacrifice is he asking of you today? Give him your eternal yes. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Open your heart to receive what God would have you. Seek his will. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you. Tell Jesus that right now. I may be praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full, or let me be empty. Tell Jesus I'd be satisfied with either one, as long as I got you. Let me have all things, or let me have nothing. I want you to tell Jesus in your heart, I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. Here I am. Take all of me, all I have, and who I am is yours. Use me as you see fit. And now, O wonderful and holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth today, let it also be ratified in heaven. Amen? And amen. Make a difference. Let people know how you're doing today. Tell them the truth about Christmas. Amen? Amen.